It is 37 minutes past 12. The name's Nihal, in case you were wondering, but I am of no importance. Who is important is my next guest, a Sri Lankan pianist and composer who, although trained as a classical pianist, has been composing. And the result of such compositions is the album Reinventions, Rhapsodies for Piano, which came out actually only a couple of weeks ago. Tanya, welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Yeah. Now,
you were in the UK for Sri Lankan New Year, I take it.
Yes.
Yes, you weren't in Sri Lanka.
I was in the UK, yes.
Yes. You know, we did a lot of kind of Sri Lankan stuff over the weekend, and I think there's more stuff happening at this weekend. But how often do you travel back and forth from Sri Lanka?
Well, last year I was back in Sri Lanka, I think, three times.
Right. And was that performing?
It was. I run a music composition project there on a voluntary basis. I work with children affected by the war and basically children who are impoverished. I work with them to try and teach them how to be creative musically as part of dealing with trauma.
And is that in the north?
It's in the north and also in the south, as I said, with impoverished children. The idea is to try and bring together all these children and help them to be creative.
What effect does it have on children, especially who've been traumatized by war, as many were in the north? What effect does music have on them?
Well, I think the potential of music is immense, and research does establish that as being the case. Perhaps because music, like language, is a mode of communication, but it is also abstract by nature. Mm. So it allows people to perhaps articulate and express their emotions in a slightly detached, abstract way, which I think can be quite therapeutic.
What were these children like when you first met them?
Well, they were actually full of life.
So outwardly, completely normal children.
Yes. I was expecting to meet children who appeared depressed or worried or withdrawn, but the children I met were very, very different. Actually, in a way, more excited, more enthusiastic than perhaps children you would meet elsewhere in more normal, peaceful environments.
How did their trauma manifest itself then? How could you tell that these were children that had been through this horrible experience?
Just knowing that they've been born into a war context. Most of them are orphans. Right. They'd lost their families, they'd lost their parents. So obviously, they would be traumatized.
Of course.
But obviously, trauma isn't something that one wears outwardly on your sleeve, so to speak, you know.
This kind of project, I mean, how long does it take? It's quite an interesting idea because you can't just kind of parachute in, do a little bit and then leave, can you?
Exactly. It started quite by accident, actually, all of it. And I was invited by an organization to go into the north and work with children. And I did so in a couple of days successively. I ran half day and full day workshops working with groups of children. And it developed from there. So at the moment, how it's been is that I have gone back a few times and run workshops over a period of, say, a week or 2 weeks. And come back. But I've also now established, in the process rather, of establishing some scholarships for children who I've selected who will work with me continuously for a period of a year online through Skype, and where I can work with them and hopefully give them a few more skills, specific skills on how to be creative musically and create their own original music.
Who was the person that encouraged you musically when you were growing up?
It was my mother, my parents. I come from a very musical family. They're not professional musicians. My mother's a piano teacher, but there was music in the house. My mother was practicing the piano while she was pregnant with me. And when I was born, I think she placed me on a little mat besides the piano and she would practice. And there was music in the house when I went to sleep. They never switched off the music, so I could sleep. So I think it must have been just having music in the environment. And then they'd noticed that I was singing, in tune some of the things that she was playing before I could speak or something like that. And then they decided that maybe they should
So you absorbed music.
Yes, yes. It would have been, I think it's what happens to most, I mean, anyone, I think, in that environment would.
But when did you decide that it was something that you wanted to take very, very seriously? Because, of course, Sri Lankan parents, like a lot of Asian parents, have set ideas of what their kids should be doing.
My father is a doctor, actually, isn't trained medically in the dental field. I was never forced or even encouraged to pursue a field that they felt I was not interested in. So they were both very interested in music, and they encouraged me in that. But at the same time, they wanted me to have an academic career just in case, because music is a risky business. It's hard to make a living out of it.
Especially in Sri Lanka.
Especially in Sri Lanka. Yeah. So I'm also trained as a linguist, and I work even here. And currently I have two identities, as a linguist and as a musician.
And do you love both equally, or is it music that is your primary love?
Oh dear.
No disrespect to whoever's employing you at the moment.
Well, I'm at Edinburgh University. I work part time there. I love both. I'm entirely a musician, and I would say I'm very much a linguist as well. Music runs in my blood, as it were. So I can't ever imagine being without it.
Okay,
does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
But then language is also part of who I am, if you know what I mean. We're communicating right now in language.
Of course.
So,
of course.
I really don't know, Nihal.
Maybe one's your head, one's your heart, I guess. let's hear some of your music. This track is called Adahas of Wings of Roots.
Thank you.
In case you're wondering, you haven't mistakenly switched over to BBC Radio 3. This is the BBC Asian Network, an amazing track there. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece of music called Adahas of Wings of Roots from the album Reinventions, Rhapsodies for Piano by Tanya Ekanayake, who is of Sri Lankan origin. And there are Sri Lankan elements to your music. Now, even someone like me who spent most of my life involved around music, not classical music, it has to be said, I would find it very hard to discern where the kind of ethnic music elements influence is in those tracks. Where are they?
Well, in the one you just heard, there is a nursery rhyme called Tikiri Tikirilia. Most Sri Lankans would know it. And there is also a traditional folk chant called a kavya. So basically, they're the melodies that are adapted and incorporated into this piece, which also has a motif of three notes based on what we call the tonal centres or the keys of the three classical works that preceded it when it was first played. So I played a work by Bach, Beethoven and Ravel initially when I first premiered it. And the keys of those three works form the main motif. So that's the blend. It isn't that I ever have set out to incorporate Sri Lankan melodies and do this. It's not something that I've done consciously. It's just evolved in that way. And I suppose...
So it was coincidence that you kind of almost stumbled upon it and then you decided it was something that actually you would like to discover and evolve more?
Yes. I mean, I think it has to do... Because the compositions are autobiographical. So I relive moments of my life when I play them. So I suppose you could say that it has to do with my own background, musical background, which includes all of these different kinds of musics as well as Western classical music. And it's a coming together of those through my own compositions, my own story, if you like.
Yes, because you were 12 when you gave your first recital, is that
right?
Yes,
yes, yes.
And 16 years old when you did your first...
Concerto.
That's extraordinary.
To be that young.
Well, it is, really. I mean, you know, to be that young and to be playing at that level, presumably surrounded by adults, must have been quite daunting, wasn't it?
I don't think I ever thought of it that way. Now that you say I would have been surrounded by adults, had I known it then, I would have, or been aware of it then, I would have felt nervous. But
you were just surrounded by other musicians, presumably, is how you saw it.
Yes, I mean, I don't recall being nervous or recall feeling that it was such a big deal, to be honest. Maybe at the time I didn't even take these things too seriously. And I think even now I take things seriously, but I'm also a little bit detached from it, if you like, when I perform. So
it is still, classical music is still, even though it is hugely popular, in terms of audience, it's quite niche and it's seen as a very upper-class musical pursuit.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, it is unfortunate because it's beautiful music. I've recently been to my first two classical concerts ever this year, conducted by Sir Simon Rattle, one of them, and the other one by a guy called Gustavo Dudamel. And I found it just amazing because, of course, I think we know a lot of classical music through adverts or through films.
Exactly.
But what we don't do is go out and see it enough.
Yes.
But also encourage young people to get involved in enough. Now, in order to play the piano, what are the basics that you need? Firstly, of course, you need to have an ear for music. But what inbuilt talent do you need to have in order to really be able to soar with this instrument?
Well, inbuilt talent, I would say, is having a very good musical ear. Which again is something that develops over years. You know, it's not something that you're necessarily just born with and stays in that same way. But combined with that has to be a very good technique and understanding of the instrument. So again, growing with the instrument, learning to understand its potential.
Because you have to understand the basics before you can allow yourself to add your own flair to it. You have to understand the fundamentals.
Yes,
don't you?
Yes. And technique plays a huge role in that. It's like anything in life. If you got the right technique, it means you're able to control that instrument. It's like if you're driving a car, if you can control it well, then you can push it to its limit and extract the best from it. It's like that with any instrument, I think, piano or violin or voice.
Okay, well, we've got 1 minute to go before we play the next track, the snappily titled Due Encounters of Scottish Walks, Vanam Udara and Sri Lanka's Bugs Bunny. Please explain. The longest title of a song ever.
Well, this is one track that I've never actually ever played in public. I have performed the other ones in public, although these are world premiere recordings, all of them. Scottish Walks, well, I suppose it's Due Encounters is a play on the word due, which is the dew one finds on top of the grass. But
yes,
it's also due as in futuristic due encounters.
Right.
My titles are a little ambiguous, probably because they're autobiographical, my music. Scottish Walks, obviously, because I live in Edinburgh. I've experienced the sense of walking in Scotland, in Edinburgh.
Do you know what? We're going to leave Sri Lanka's Bugs Bunny for people to work out themselves.
Okay.
So I want to play the piece of music now here on the BBC Asian Network. Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful track. Tania, thank you so much for coming on. The album Reinventions, Rhapsodies for Piano by Tania Ekinaika is out on the Grand Piano label.
The Grand Piano label of Naxos,
brilliant,
yes.
Brilliant, and that's out now, so people can go and buy that if they love that.
It was released in the UK on the 30th of March, Asia thereafter, and I think in the US yesterday. So
excellent. So you can get hold of it. If you love that beautiful, beautiful music, then please do so. It's now time for Asian Network Reports with